Hey, it's Otis here. Before we get to the bedtime reading, I wanted to let you know that I just launched a brand new show. It's called The Daily Book Club, a daytime companion to Sleepy, where you hear entire books one chapter at a time, one day at a time. Simple as that. So if Sleepy is how you wind down your day, The Daily Book Club is a great way to start your day. There's new episodes daily. I read in a slightly peppier voice so that you can get really lost in these amazing stories that have stood the test of time. Or, just like Sleepy, you can sit back and relax and zone out to a good book. The first book we'll be reading is The Enchanted April by Elizabeth Von Arnim. Story is, in the 1920s, four women unfulfilled with life take a chance and abscond to a dreamy medieval Italian castle. It's a story dripping with wisteria, the beauty of solitude, and an unlikely pursuit of joy in Portofino, Italy. I think that this is a perfect story for the season, and you can hear it now. Find the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. This show has been a long time coming, and I'm so excited to bring you even more stories. So go subscribe to the Daily Book Club to hear what happens next. Thanks. This episode of Sleepy is proudly sponsored by ButcherBox. If you've listened to Sleepy for a while, you know that I love good food, eating well, and treating my body right so that I can take on my days. Well, ButcherBox helps you do exactly that. They deliver super high quality, 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, crate-free pork, and wild-caught seafood right to your door. It's humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. They have a huge variety to choose from. They are excellent deals. They've got recipes and guides and tips included, and there's free shipping, always. Eating well is a huge factor in getting a good night's sleep, as is sometimes saving the trip to the grocery store and taking some stress out of your daily schedule. I have been loving these deliveries for those reasons. Been cooking up their steak tips with eggs in the morning, with butter and scallions and soy sauce, and I also made a delicious brine chicken roast with lemon parsley gravy. So good. The prices for this kind of quality and convenience is really impressive. ButcherBox has made me very happy. So sign up at butcherbox.com/sleepy and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sleepy and use code SLEEPY to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order. butcherbox.com/sleepy. Eat well, sleep well.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, and you're listening to Sleepy. A podcast where I read old books to help you get to sleep. And this is a midweek bedtime story for you. Now, tonight, I'm going to be switching things up a little bit and actually giving you a poetry reading. This is a sample from the poetry feed on Sleepy, the Patreon feed, and I just love this collection of poems. It's absolutely fantastic, and I know you don't usually hear poems on the regular Sleepy feed, but as spring has sprung and summer is coming, I really, really love this collection of children's stories, and I think you're going to like them too. I hope you like this midweek bedtime reading. As always, on Sundays are our main shows where we'll be reading kind of longer books. And these midweek episodes, they have a beginning and an end. And on the Sunday episodes, we have a little bit longer intros where I thank all of our brand new patrons on patreon.com, which is a website where you can go and pledge $2 to listen to an ad-free version of the show. But even if you donate a dollar, I will read your name in the opening credits of the next show after you do. So, if you want to be a part of making this show, go to patreon.com/sleepyradio. Thank you. And as always, the music you're hearing is by my good friend James Lepkowski, and the cover art for Sleepy is by Gracie Kanan. Well, this poetry tonight, I think it's going to be a good switch from some of the stuff that we are used to on the Sleepy podcast. And I also just did want to take a quick second to thank all of you who have listened to my new show, The Daily Book Club, which is the daytime companion to this podcast. Thank you so much. Your support has meant so much, and I love being able to bring you even more great books, especially ones when you can hear the beginning and the end of. So thank you. And if you listening are interested, The Daily Book Club is a show where I read one chapter a day from a nice old book. And you can book club it with other listeners and talk about the readings. So if Sleepy is how you go to sleep and end your day, The Daily Book Club is a great way to start your day. You can find that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. But tonight, I hope you can drift off into a deep, deep slumber to this collection of children's poems, starting off with Under My Window by Thomas Westwood and wandering into some wonderful poetry by other authors. And now is the time for you to fluff up your pillow just how you like it. Feel yourself melt into your bed. Get real comfortable. Close your eyes and let me read to you. Under my window. Under my window, under my window, all in the midsummer weather. Three little girls with fluttering curls flit to and fro together. There's Belle with her bonnet of satin sheen, and Maud with her mantle of silver green, and Kate with her scarlet feather. Under my window, leaning stealthily over. Merry and clear, the voice I hear of each glad-hearted rover. Ah, sly little Kay, she steals my roses, and Maud and Belle twine wreaths and posies, as merry as bees and clover. Under my window, in the blue midsummer weather, stealing slow on a hushed tiptoe, I catch them all together, Belle with her bonnet of satin sheen, and Maud with her mantle of silver green, and Kate with the scarlet feather. Under my window, and through the orchard closes, while Maud, she flouts, and Belle, she pouts, they scamper and drop their posies. But dear little Kate takes not amiss, and leaps in my arms with a loving kiss, and I give her all my roses. Childhood. In my poor mind, it is most sweet to muse upon the days gone by, to act in thought. Past seasons are, and be again a child, to sit and fancy on the turf-clad slope, down with the child would roll to pluck gay flowers, make posies in the sun, which the child's hand, childhood offended soon reconcile, would throw away, and straight take up again, then fling them to the winds and o'er the lawn, bound was so playful and so light of foot that the pressed daisy scarce declined her head. Past and present. I remember the house where I was born, the little window where the sun came peeping in at morn. He never came in a wink too soon, nor brought too long a day. But now I often wish the night had borne my breath away. I remember the roses red and white, the violets and the lily cups, those flowers made of night. The lilacs where the robin built, and where my brother sat, the laburnum on his birthday, the tree is living yet. I remember, where I was used to swing, and thought the air must rush as fresh to swallows on the wing. My spirit flew and feathers down, that is so heavy now, and summer pools could hardly cool the fever on my brow. I remember, the fir trees dark and high. I used to think their slender tops were close against the sky. It was a childish ignorance, but now 'tis little joy to know I'm farther off from heaven than when I was a boy. The Deserted Garden. I mind me in the days departed, how often underneath the sun, with childish bounds I used to run to a garden long deserted. The beds and walks were vanished quite, and whose hour had struck the spade, the greenest grasses nature laid to sanctify her right. Adventurous joy it was for me. I crept beneath the boughs and found a circle smooth of mossy ground beneath the poplar tree. Old garden rose trees hedged it in, bedrobed with roses white, well satisfied with dew and light, and careless to be seen. To me upon my mossy seat, though never a dream, roses scent of science or love's compliment, I ween they smelt as sweet. And gladdest hours for me did glide in silence at the rose tree wall. A thrush made gladness musical upon the other side. Nor he nor I did e'er incline to peck or pluck the blossoms white. How should I know the roses might lead lives as glad as mine? My childhood from my life is parted, my footstep from the moss which drew its fairy circle round anew. The garden is deserted. Another thrush may there rehearse the madrigals which sweetest are, no more from me, myself afar, do sing a sadder verse. The Barefoot Boy. Blessings on thee, little man, barefoot boy with cheek of tan, with thy turned up pantaloons and thy merry whistled tunes, with thy red lip redder still, kissed by strawberries on the hill, with the sunshine on thy face, through thy torn brim's jaunty grace. From my heart I give thee joy. I was once a barefoot boy. Prince, thou art the grown-up man, only is Republican. Let the million-dollared ride, barefoot, trudging at his side. Thou hast more than he can buy, in the reach of ear and eye. Outward sunshine, inward joy, blessings on thee, barefoot boy. Oh, for boyhood's painless play, sleep that wakes in laughing day, health that mocks the doctor's rules, knowledge never learned of schools, of the wild bee's morning chase, of the wild flower's time and place, flight of fowl and habitude, of the tenants of the wood, how the tortoise bears his shell, how the woodchuck digs his cell, and the ground mole sinks his well, how the robin feeds her young, how the oriole's nest is hung, where the whitest lilies blow, where the freshest berries grow, where the groundnut trails its vine, where the wood grapes cluster shine, of the black wasp's cunning way, mason of his walls of clay, and the architectural plans of gray hornet artisans. For, eschewing books and tasks, nature answers all he asks. Hand in hand with her he walks, face to face with her he talks. Part and parcel of her joy, blessings on the barefoot boy. Oh, for boyhood's time of June, crowding years in one brief moon, when all things I heard or saw, me their master waited for. I was rich in flowers and trees, humming birds and honey bees. For my sport the squirrel played, plied the snouted mole his spade. For my taste the blackberry cone purpled over hedge and stone. Laughed the brook for my delight, through the day and through the night. Whispering at the garden wall, talked with me from fall to fall. Mine the sand-rimmed pickerel pond, mine the walnut slopes beyond. Mine unbending orchard trees, apples of Hesperides. Still, as my horizon grew, larger grew my riches too. All the world I saw or knew seemed a complex Chinese toy fashioned for a barefoot boy. Oh, for festal dainty spread, like my bowl of milk and bread, pewter spoon and bowl of wood, on the doorstone, gray and rude. O'er me, like a regal tent, cloudy ribbed, the sunset bent, purple curtained, fringed with gold, looped in many a wing-swung fold, while from music came the play of the pied frog's orchestra, and to light the noisy choir, lit the fly his lamp of fire. I was monarch, pomp and joy, waited on the barefoot boy. Cheerily then, my little man, live and laugh as boyhood can. Though the flinty slopes be hard, stubble speared the new moon swart. Every morn shall lead thee through fresh baptisms of the dew. Every morning from thy feet shall the cool wind kiss the heat. All too soon these feet must hide in the prison cells of pride, lose the freedom of the sod, like a colt's for work be shod, made to tread the mills of toil, up and down the ceaseless moil. Happy, if their track be found, never on forbidden ground. Happy, if they sink not in quick and treacherous sands of sin. Ah, that thou couldst know thy joy ere it passes, barefoot boy. The Old Oaken Bucket. How dear to my heart are the scenes of my childhood, when fond recollection presents them to view. The orchard, the meadow, the deep tangled wildwood, and every loved spot which my infancy knew. The wide spreading pond and the mill that stood by it, the bridge and the rock where the cataract fell, the cot of my father, the dairy house nigh it, and e'en the rude bucket that hung in the well. That moss-covered bucket I hailed as treasure, for often at noon, when returned from the field, I found it the source of an exquisite pleasure, the purest and sweetest that nature can yield. How ardent I seized it, with hands that were glowing, and quick to the white pebbled bottom it fell. Then soon with the emblem of truth overflowing, and dripping with coolness, it rose from the well. How sweet from the green, mossy brim to receive it, as poised to the curb, it inclined to my lips. Not a full, blushing goblet could tempt me to leave it, though filled with the nectar that Jupiter sips. And now, far removed from the loved habitation, the tear of regret will intrusively swell, and fancy reverts to my father's plantation, and sighs for the bucket that hung in the well. In school days. Still sits the schoolhouse by the road, a ragged beggar sunning. Around it still the sumac grow, and blackberry vines are running. Within, the master's desk is seen, deep scarred by raps official. The warping floor, the battered seats, the jackknife's carved initial. The charcoal frescoes on its wall, its doors worn sill, betraying the feet that creeping slow to the school when storming out to playing. Long years ago, a winter sun shone over it at setting, lit up its western window panes and low cave's icy fretting. It touched the tangled golden curls and brown eyes full of grieving of one who still her steps delay when all the school were leaving. For near her stood the little boy, her childish flavor single, his cap pulled down upon a face where pride and shame were mingled. Pushing with restless feet the snow
to right and left, he lingered, as restlessly her tiny hands, the blue checked apron, fingered. He saw her lift her eyes. He felt the soft hands light caressing, and heard the tremble of her voice, as if a fault confessing. I'm sorry that I spelt the word. I hate to go above you. Because the brown eyes lower fell. Because, you see, I love you. Still memory to a gray-haired man. That sweet child face is showing. Dear girl, the grasses on her grave have 40 years been growing. He lives to learn. In life's hard school, how few who pass above him lament their triumph and his loss, like her, because they love him. Woodman, spare that tree. Woodman, spare that tree. Touch not a single bough. In youth, it sheltered me, and I'll protect it now. 'Twas my forefather's hand that placed it near his cot. There, woodman, let it stand. Thy axe shall harm it not. That old familiar tree, whose glory and renown are spread o'er land and sea, and wouldst thou hew it down? Woodman, forbear thy stroke. Cut not its earthbound ties. Oh, spare that aged oak, now towering to the skies. When but an idle boy, I sought its graceful shade. In all their gushing joy, here too my sisters played. My mother kissed me here. My father pressed my hand. Forgive this foolish tear, but let that old oak stand. My heartstrings round thee cling. Close is thy bark, old friend. Here shall the wild bird sing, and still thy branches bend. Old tree, the storm still brave. And woodman, leave the spot, while I have a hand to save. Thy axe shall hurt it not. To Charlotte Boltini. Timely blossom, infant fair, fondling of a happy pair. Every morn and every night, their solicitous delight, sleeping, waking, still at ease, pleasing without a skill to please. Little gossip, blithe and hale, tattling many a broken tale, singing many a tuneless song, lavish of a heedless tongue. Simple maiden, void of art, babbling out the very heart. Yet abandoned to thy will, yet imagining no ill, yet too innocent to blush, like the linnet in the bush. To the mother linnet's note, moduling her slender throat, chirping forth thy petty joys, wanton in the change of toys, like the linnet green in May, flitting to each bloomy spray, wearied then and glad of rest, like the linnet in the nest. This thy present happy lot, this in time will be forgot. Other pleasures, other cares, ever busy time prepares. And thou shalt in thy daughter see this picture once resembled thee. Choosing a name. I have got a newborn sister. I was nigh the first that kissed her. When the nursing woman brought her, the papa, his infant daughter, how papa's dear eyes did glisten. She will shortly be to Christian, and papa has made the offer. I shall have the naming of her. Now I wonder what would please her, Charlotte, Julia, or Louisa. Anne and Mary, they're too common. Jones, too formal for a woman. Jane's a prettier name beside, but we had a Jane that died. They would say, if it was Rebecca, that she was a little Quaker. Edith's pretty, but that looks better in old English books. Ellen's left off long ago. Blanche is out of fashion now. None that I have named as yet are so good as Margaret. Emily is neat and fine. What do you think of Caroline? How I'm puzzled and perplexed. What to choose or think of next. I am in a little fever, lest the name that I should give her should disgrace her or defame her. I will leave Papa to name her. Thank you for listening to Sleepy. Good night.